This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Darren Rourke. Darren is the CEO of Baptist Medical Center Clay, located in Clay County. He's going to tell us about the medical center, about himself, and advice for leaders, and a little bit more. Darren, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Darren Rourke, and I'm the hospital president with Baptist Medical Center Clay in Clay County, Florida.
And where is Clay County, Florida? Tell us about Baptist Medical Center Clay and also just about the hospital and the area.
Baptist Medical Center Clay is located in Clay County, which is a suburb of the Jacksonville area, which is located in northeast Florida. The facility itself sits in Fleming Island, which is a really unique community that really is an island. It's surrounded by water. And in 2013, we opened an outpatient campus on the island with a freestanding ED and outpatient services with the goal of eventually having a hospital there. And then in 2015, we submitted a certificate of need to the state of Florida, which unfortunately wasn't approved. So the campus went through some changes. We added outpatient surgery. And then in 2018, Florida eliminated certificate of need, 2019. So we were then able to begin to add the beds. So we began design and construction, and then COVID hit. So we reinvented the wheel in terms of what we were building, added some COVID enhancements, and now are in full speed with adding a 100-bed inpatient tower to the campus. The beautiful part of this is that we were able to, in essence, take the fourth floor of the facility, which was ICU and step down, and make it completely negative pressure so that we would be prepared for any eventual future pandemic or anything else that would we would encounter, and try to build really the hospital of the future that's pandemic focused. So we took the time in which we were delayed with COVID to reinvent the wheel and try to build a beautiful facility.
I mean, what an amazing study in both determination and persistence. I mean, built the original area in 2013, tried to get a certificate of need, got denied a certificate of need, goes away, so then start building and planning a hospital, then COVID hits, so making adjustments to the building plans and to what you're doing. But what an amazing journey. There must be some lessons in that for leaders and thoughts that you have on leadership. Take a moment and tell us about the journey and maybe some advice that you would give to other leaders just generally about leadership.
Well, I would say the main thing is when you're leading in healthcare and you're part of a community, you know, you're building something for the community. So you definitely have to continue to be engaged with the community. And with a lot of starts and stops, such as we have had, it's hard sometimes because the community is like, well, you're going to build something, but then you're not. But they will stick with you and understand that the process can sometimes be bumpy. I think COVID was certainly one where people were able to understand those challenges and limitations. And at the end of the day, stay the course, keep coming to work every day with the focus of your game plan and your mission, which is just to take great care of people. And I find that when you do that, everything else will work itself out and you can continue to make a difference in the community and expand your services as they're needed.
Thank you. And talk about the medical center there and a few points of pride in the medical center that you guys have evolved and made into, you know, into a burgeoning medical campus. Talk about a few points of pride in that.
Absolutely. We were able to add a Da Vinci robot, XI, to our outpatient surgery center, which at the time, I believe we were only the third outpatient surgery center in Florida to have a Da Vinci XI robot. And that afforded us an opportunity to really create a niche in the market and be able to build our medical staff. Because as we all know, medical staff, our physicians, they're our partners. You can't have a hospital without a good medical staff. And with the plan eventually to be to have a 100 bed tower, we wanted to begin to be able to give the medical staff a place to come to and begin to build those relationships. COVID, of course, hampered that as well. When we had the here in Florida, the governor's mandate that prohibited us from doing elective surgeries for just over 30 days. But we managed to continue to stay the course and get through that and keep our patients and our medical staff engaged as we embarked upon doing something different that hadn't been done in many locations in Florida. Also, one of the things is we live in a great community. We have great weather. Florida is a great place, obviously. But Clay County is a very unique place with a lot of recreation. We're surrounded by the St. John's River and Doctor's Lake, and it's a growing, thriving community with a new outer beltway toll road that's fully funded that will bring a lot more growth to the region. And now we're finding that since folks can work from home, that they're moving from the Northeast, from the Midwest into Clay County at a rapid pace. So we're eager to get our hospital built so we can continue to serve not only the residents who have been there with us through all these years, but also the new folks that are coming to town and continuing to add to the diversity of the community.
What's it like having all us Northerners come down there? Are there days where you think like, oh my goodness, we wish you Northerners would go back home, or are you okay with that?
You know, I'm okay with it because I'm originally from Chicago. I've been in Florida for 12 years. So I see a lot of my friends coming down and I'm like, this is great. So it feels more like home to me now that we're becoming more diverse and have some of the more Midwesterners and the folks that I'm used to seeing come down to the region. My parents have joined us in Florida and a host of other people. And as a matter of fact, my neighbors now are also from Chicago. So it's been good. I can't complain.
And Darren, you've not converted from a Chicago Bears fan to a Jacksonville Jaguars fan, have you?
Well, you know, we as Baptist Health, we take care of the health care for the Jaguars. So I would say I'm a hybrid fan. I love my Chicago Bears, and I also love my Jaguars. And, you know, this year we met, you know, in a play, well, it was game, I think it was week 16 of the season, and we were fortunate to be able to go to the game. And but the Jaguars really wanted to lose that game anyway because we were hoping for that top draft pick. So it worked out. I could root for the Bears, and none of my Jags fans were upset at me.
Is the Jaguars' top pick, is that now going to be the quarterback from Clemson? Is that the guy who's talked about as the number one pick?
That's what they're hinting, that they definitely want to take the Clemson quarterback. So we'll see what happens. Although after the Clemson-Ohio State game, we'll see. But I think we will end up with the Clemson quarterback. That's my
magnificent
prediction. We'll see what happens.
Yep. And talk about just a moment. You mentioned a little bit of this. Talk a little bit about your career journey and how you ended up where you ended up. Talk a little bit about the career journey and a couple of pivotal moments in your career.
You know what? I'm a nurse and I'm a second degree nurse. So I never really envisioned myself working in healthcare. I always had in essence, a burning desire to really want to make a difference in people's lives. But I just wasn't sure how to satisfy that hunger. And I would say as leaders, we really have to listen to folks, because I think my listening to other people helped actually guide my career and put me where I am now. I had a brother who told me that, you know, you should really volunteer in the emergency room. And that led to my career transition. And then I discovered all the great things that people do in the emergency room. I was blessed to work with great leaders who were always willing to give advice and mentorship, and I would say several pivotal moments in my career that charted my path were folks like the first ED director I ever had, who actually offered me a job as a trauma registrar, college professors who always encouraged me, and one in particular who encouraged me to publish my first article, and different nurse executives who always told me that, Darren, it's great. You can make a difference in everyone's lives by taking care of one patient or two patients at a time at the bedside, because I was always a trauma ICU nurse. Or you can impact an entire community by being a nursing leader. And to those folks that gave me the opportunity to take my first nurse manager job, and really all those opportunities paved the way for my development and growth. And I think about them frequently and wonder how my career would have changed if I hadn't captured those opportunities that folks seem to be always willing to give you. I've found that sometimes others believe more in you than you do in yourself. And I've been very fortunate. And now to be leading a hospital is a dream come true for me. And I'm excited to be able to do it in a great community.
Well, just magnificent. And obviously, more and more magnificent nurse leaders who then become magnificent CEOs, the great mix of compassion and intelligence and thoughtfulness. So congratulations to you. What a remarkable career, Darren. And what a pleasure to visit with you. And great luck in building that medical campus. Just amazing what you're doing. And a shout out to Intuitive and the Da Vinci Robot as well. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Absolutely, Scott. Thank you for having me on, and have a great day.